Hi, welcome to Good Bad Bizarre. Today we'll be exploring wellness through the eyes of a body worker. Welcome, Max.
Hi, Kay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Welcome to my my annual podcast. You know, I might not put these out in a timely manner, but I don't do this because I love to run a tight schedule. I do this because I love to talk to people. And today, I am so happy that you are those people.
It's quality, not quantity.
How are you? How was your week?
My week is going well, considering that I finally beat COVID and I'll be heading back to work tomorrow. Yeah, how are you doing?
Well, I had a dream about David Schwimmer 2 weeks ago that we were taking a bath together.
Oh, how on theme.
So a bit of a mixed bag, really. No, I'm only teasing. I'm great. And I've been doing these Zen Buddhist meditation sits at the Buddhist Meditation Center in the west end of the city where I've been cat-sitting Ellington. And that's been really lovely. But I don't know. I have to go back actually tonight to continue cat-sitting Ellington or Beef Wellington or Tuna Fang / Tuna Tiger. And I think I was telling you, Max, but this cat is like requiring a Juilliard level of entertainment. I'm chasing, I'm petting, I'm brushing, I'm twirling ribbons.
High maintenance cat.
He's barely interested. He's not interested at all. And I don't know, I just feel like a woman waving around a ribbon without a cat playing with the other end of said ribbon is just a woman experiencing mental illness.
Like there is a metaphor in there somewhere, yeah.
I feel like I'm doing like a P90X workout video. I'm like running from the tap to the food bowl to the tap to the food bowl. He only drinks running tap water.
Oh, expensive taste.
Yeah, he's a little prince. I'm telling you.
I think we all can learn a lesson from Beef Wellington the cat here.
I know, right? He has a little cat.
Don't be afraid to ask for what you want and hold out for that thing.
That's true. I mean, you make a good point. That's very true. He has a little like cat stroller I take him out in around Ronsonsfails. And
no way.
It's very demoralizing for both of us. So that's what's going on with me. But I'm really glad you're over COVID. And again, thank you so much for doing this with me. I love you. And I'm so happy that we finally get to sit down and do this. So this is really cool. But I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you was, I wanted to begin by just kind of asking you what some of the main acts of self-care you perform on a weekly basis are. Like, do you have a morning routine?
Yeah, I'm kind of, I do sort of thrive on my routines. I have a pretty, I guess it like, I'll begin this by kind of saying that wellness to me is kind of a balancing act of sorts, if that makes sense. It's also strength training and mindfulness. These are all aspects under the wellness umbrella. I kind of feel best when I'm lifting heavy stuff and dedicating a lot of time to self-care. And self-care to me is like yoga, stretching, massage, self-massage, cupping, and contrast therapy. I use a lot of hot and cold therapy, which is once again on theme for our podcast today. Mm-hmm. I find if I fall out of my sort of wellness routine, I suffer, especially at work. I have quite a physical job, so yeah, it's really important for me to keep my body and my mind feeling good, feeling ready.
Can we talk about your recent diagnosis? Has that changed any of your wellness regime?
So I feel like it was like since our adventure in hydrotherapy, I learned some things about myself. I was diagnosed with autism and ADHD back in, I guess, September or so. It was around my birthday. It's the only reason why I remember. I did a lot of research and self-analysis in the months to come. And one interesting thing about neurodivergence is that it often comes with like sensory processing issues, including temperature sensitivities for some of us. And kind of realizing this about myself, it just sort of made all of these things glaringly obvious to me. And you can't really do anything to solve these things if you don't know they exist. So even just taking the time to figure out the nitty-gritty of my sensory issues has made like such a world of difference for me in the last little while.
And can you explain what neurodivergent means? I just wonder if everybody will know what that means.
Yeah, so like neurodivergence is sort of a spectrum of people whose brains operate in a little bit of a different way. There are a few different aspects of neurodivergency, like whether you're on the autism spectrum or the ADHD spectrum or somewhere in between, like a combination of both. It's kind of like a catch-all term for all of these lovely folks.
That's really interesting. Because you're, okay, so you're 30...
34. I'm 34.
Okay, yeah, so same age as me. Hey, listen, happens to me all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
I had to do some fast math there for
a second. How old am I again?
I feel like that's been happening. Anytime after 28, I've had to, it takes me a second or two.
Yeah, you just stop counting after a while.
Yeah.
You know? It just gets kind of tedious.
Exactly.
So how did you actually, I don't actually think you ever told me how you found out.
Yeah, so I was, I've been seeing the same therapist since the beginning of the pandemic. She's really wonderful. And she wanted to get me a proper diagnosis to maybe get some medication going. And I thought I was living with like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, with some trauma stuff bundled in there. But it turns out it was neurodivergency all along.
Oh, wow.
And so I was completely shocked. Like, I had no idea. I actually didn't believe it in the first month until I started reading more about it. And that's because a lot of our preconceived notions about neurodivergency and autism in specific, actually and ADHD as well, kind of comes from an image we've crafted over the years, and it pertains to just like cis heterosexual men, young men.
Yeah.
And it can mean lots of other things to the rest of us folks. Yeah, so it's just kind of figuring out where I lie on this spectrum. And that came with a lot of, I read a lot of books. I did a lot of my own internet research. My therapist guided me through the whole thing. And I'm feeling a lot more comfortable with the diagnosis. I feel like it fits me a lot better. I feel like all my little weird quirks are explained now.
Soph, our mutual friend who happens to be trans, came over. Soph came over for lunch with her girlfriend, and she was telling me that within the trans community, there's like a really high percentage of people who have autism. Have you?
Yeah, I have. I've actually spoken to Soph about this as well, and I think I might get the numbers wrong here, but I think it's like only 1% of other folks are neurodivergent, and up to like 20% of trans folks or something like that are queer folks. I can't remember what the exact stats are on that, but it is a very significant number.
Yeah. I wonder what the like correlation is there.
It is interesting. Or maybe the people who aren't neurodivergent are just closeted and you don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. So besides Max being an extremely professional and talented registered massage therapist.
Oh, why, thank you.
They're also super alternative and into punk rock. And I remember, like, one of the things that I loved about yoga and also about punk rock was that I felt like yoga represented the counterculture in the same way that punk rock did.
I love that.
Now, it's kind of hard to look at yoga as counterculture at this point with the good old yoga industrial complex. But I remember when you and I first met, when you first started coming to my yoga classes, and I was still working at COPS at the time, and I remember Jello Biafra of the Dead Kennedys, which is this punk band, for those of you that don't know, came into the shop. Did I tell you this story?
I don't know if you have. That's pretty badass.
Okay, so my God, this was ridiculous. So Jello Biafra was scheduled to come into, I don't know if he was scheduled or if he just popped, but this was when I was working at the shops, and he came in one day and there was kind of like a buzz around the shop. And I think the owner was like, you know, Jello Biafra's here. He's upstairs listening to records right now. So I'm like, oh my God, you know? Besides Jello Biafra being just like an extremely incredible...
He's an icon.
Yeah, icon yeah. of this band. He's also just extremely funny and really interesting. So I was so excited to have him in the shop. And I thought like, okay, I'm gonna go upstairs. I'm gonna approach him. So I go upstairs to the second floor where he's listening to records. He has these big headphones on. And I go up to him and I kind of tap him on the shoulder and I'm like, excuse me? And he holds up his finger. He doesn't even look at me. He holds up his finger for a second just to signify like 1 minute. And he continues listening to his record. And then a second passes and he takes off his headphones. And I just kind of have been standing there awkwardly waiting for him. And then he finally takes off his headphones. And I'm such a nerd. I go, Mr. Biafra, it's an honor to have you in the shop. And I just love the opportunity to shake your hand. Oh, I'm talking to him like he's fucking Obama. So like, Mr. Biafra, that's not even his name. That's his stage name. Mr. Biafra, like, I'm so honored to have you in the shop. I would just love the opportunity to shake his hand. So he looks at me for a second like I'm a serial killer, appropriately, that's fair. And then he holds out his hand, like palm face down, as though to ask me to kiss his hand. And he goes, well, here it is, honey. Killed me. It was so funny. But I remember when I came to class and you were there, having this feeling like I could talk to you about things like that and it didn't feel weird. The yoga world can feel very normative.
The wellness industry in general can feel very normative. I was actually scared about being able to find work for myself before I graduated from massage school for that reason.
Were you? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was already chock full of tattoos and I'm pretty sure I had like stupid colored hair at the time. But honestly, it's been nothing but accepting, and I feel like it kind of works the other way. Like at work, I feel like I give a lot of people that safe feeling when they come to me for massage and other stuff, like for nutrition. Like a lot of people have self-conscious, I don't know, aspects of themselves, and I feel like being with somebody who very clearly shows who they are kind of makes them more secure.
Yeah, it's you kind of eventually find your own people.
You do. I hear that, and it even kind of relates to a body positivity thing, because I know a few people who are intimidated going to yoga classes just because they have a different body type than you generally associate with something like yoga, which is so unfortunate because yoga truly is for everybody.
For everybody, yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Exactly.
So we went to, for our day of wellness, drumroll please, Banya. Now, a banya, I didn't realize a banya is actually like a generic term for a Russian spa.
Mm-hmm.
How did you hear about this banya in particular that we ended up going to?
It was a fellow RMT who told me about it when I was back in massage school days, and I've been like meaning to go for a while, and I mean, you're the perfect candidate for company at the banya, so just waiting for the right time.
So, and this is a family-run business in Mississauga.
Not only is it in Mississauga, but it's in like the side of a weird strip mall off the side of like a busy street.
I know. I know. This place is like my favorite kind of magical because it's so unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
So Max and I drove up. It's like a 20-minute drive from Toronto. And when we arrive, so we pull around, as Max is eloquently describing, we pull around the back of this. Was it like a strip mall?
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. So we pull around the back of this very nondescript, sweet little strip mall.
There's like some furniture stores and shawarma, like in the yeah, you know, totally unassuming.
Very underground nightclub vibes, like, and so we pull up to the back and we park and we see this kind of man, maybe in his 60s, smoking in the back and having a drink, like leaning. Was he having a drink or am I imagining that?
No, he definitely had like a little tumbler glass and he was like squatting on the parking lot.
On the tarmac.
On the tarmac, exactly.
I already liked this guy.
Clearly.
But yeah, so we get inside and how would you describe the inside? So you sort of walk up the alleyway and there's just a little door with a little red, this little
red awning.
Awning.
Yeah.
And was there even any signage?
I think there was on the awning and it just kind of like all I remember is the warm glowing light kind of coming out of the glass door and you just kind of like, where are we going right now? Like, what are we about to embark upon?
Mystical.
Totally.
So we go in and it's like the facade, it almost looked like a movie set. Like what I mean is that the walls had like a facade built over them of those wooden planks. What is that style?
I don't know. It basically makes you feel like you're in a tiny Eastern European village. I don't even know what you call this, but yeah, it's like all these fake house fronts.
Yeah. And little chachkas everywhere and Russian dolls and...
Oh yeah. And all the, don't forget all the taxidermy.
Quite a lot of taxidermy. So it's very like, it's very mystical. But
I think it's half mystical, half like some Russian babushka's like basement. And,
yes, it's very much like you're in an old man's basement. It is for sure in the most charming of ways.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So we get in there and we get all ready. They have a little area you can stash all your things, etc. And then we go into to do the main cycle through. The cold plunge and the steam room and the sauna and everything. And we don't really know what's up. We're just still getting like a feel for everything. And the same man from outside in the alleyway approaches us and he doesn't even really say, I don't even think he introduces himself. He just kind of approaches us with a little twinkle in his eye and he starts explaining what we're gonna do while we're here, the process. And at first we kind of thought, he was mansplaining to us. Am I correct?
We did. Yeah. We were making eyes at each other.
Yeah. Maxie and I were making eyes.
Who does this guy think he is?
Yeah. Who does this fellow think that he is? But then we grew to love this man because we realized we were just getting a little peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to be our shaman. If I can... so liberally use that term or misuse that term.
I think we've found out that I think the term for him is a bannock.
He's a bannock.
It's a bannock.
So the mythology of the bannock in the Russian banya is in Slavic mythology, there was a banya spirit named bannock who was believed to hide under the bathhouse benches only to reveal himself if a visitor was disrespectful or misbehaved, in which case bannock would do very naughty things like throw boiling water or hot rocks at the disruptive bather, or he'd also set the banya on fire.
Terrifying.
Terrifying, but I love that this mythology exists.
I do too.
And
it suits our friend from the banya, I think.
It sure does.
Not that I'm suggesting he's going to throw boiling water on the poor patrons of the banya, but you definitely get mischievous vibes from him. And
He was such a mischievous little spirit.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that he whipped you with oak branches?
Oh, well, we'll get to that. But so basically throughout history, the banya has been enjoyed by all classes. So it's not really specific to any one class, just as a way to relax, but it could also be visited as a spiritual experience, often on a Sunday. And it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but $60 for the whole day.
Yeah.
Is that correct? So you can be, what else can you do in Toronto for $60 where you can just go and hang out?
Not a lot.
Nothing, right?
Absolutely not.
So the Southwestern bathhouse has a traditional Russian banya, a dry Finnish sauna, and a Turkish, pardon me if I mispronounce this, hammam.
Was that the really spicy one?
Mm-hmm. That was a super spicy one. So included in the price are robes, towels, slippers, lockers, and a premium selection of teas. And oh yeah, did you ever do the Tuesday? So Tuesday nights they have ladies night. Thursday, I wanted to ask you about this. Tuesday mm-hmm. nights they have ladies night, and Thursdays they have all men.
I think it's Wednesday. Wednesday they have all men.
Oh really? And so you can be nude for these.
You can.
Yes, please. And the rest of the week is co-ed. But how do you feel about, I sort of feel like, I guess the easy fix here would be to also include a non-binary day.
True. I actually did venture out. I don't know if I mentioned I'm non-binary. I use they, them pronouns. I know you know. I'm just explaining to all the lovely listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I kind of like, I was assigned female gender at birth. So at this place, I kind of just put my comfort level aside and just decided to go on the night of my assigned birth gender because I was curious. And I don't know, not being around men has its benefits in these scenarios. So
right.
So yeah, I went, and it was me and a bunch of old Russian ladies. It was great.
I wonder like how you start the conversation with someone like, for instance, a place like this where I would bring my grumpy daddies, you know, where there's taxidermy on the wall. Like, I'm not going to bring a vegan here. Like, I know you're vegan, but
I'm a special kind of vegan.
You are a very special person. I wouldn't bring, like, I told my other friend about this place who's vegan, and she almost had a nervous breakdown. She almost shit twice and died. Yeah. How do you start that conversation about hosting like a non-binary day with somebody that at least decorates like a very elderly mm-hmm. Russian man? You might think their point of view, you know, matches the drapes, so to speak.
It is a little intimidating for sure, especially if you're not in the mood to have those conversations with somebody, but
right.
Sometimes you got to give people the benefit of the doubt, and they do have younger employees that work there that might be able to explain and, like, I don't know, maybe help us out a little bit and do us a solid.
Absolutely. I'm not trying to be ageist, and like, I don't want to assume, mm-hmm. you know, but just, I guess you only assume so far as they're not already offering that, right? So
exactly. Well, and also the change rooms, I mean, we should mention this, are very gendered. Like, you can choose to change in the gender neutral bathrooms that they have, but I chose to use the change room of my birth assigned gender. Not ideal. So this is kind of a warning for other trans folks who are interested in visiting the Banya. Mm-hmm. You could change in the bathroom, but if you want access to a locker, I believe you have to go inside the change room. So
that's a very good point, and thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the traditional cycle you do, dry sauna, cold plunge, and then you sit in the steam room. They had a really lovely eucalyptus steam, which I was grateful that they had. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of repeat the process, but there's no one enforcing the cycle. So technically, like, we could have done that in any order.
Mm-hmm. What was suggested by our Bannock was mm-hmm. Was going to, I think, what did he say? Steam room, sauna first without a shower. So you go and dry.
Okay.
And then you rinse off, I think. And then you go and drink tea so you can warm up your insides. And then you do another sauna round. And then that's when you incorporate your first cold plunge, I believe was the order here.
Okay. Your memory is very sharp.
It can be. It has its moments.
Okay, interesting. So they also offer what's called a vanic massage for $20. Do you want to explain what vanic massage is?
It sounds intimidating when you describe it, but basically it's a bunch of dried oak branches and this massage.
Or sometimes eucalyptus or sometimes birch.
Oh, it would be nice with eucalyptus.
It'd be so nice with eucalyptus.
Really lovely. But yeah, basically you lie down. I'm assuming it's always done within a sauna, but I actually don't know if that's facts or not. But yeah, someone basically comes and whacks you all over the body with these branches in kind of a therapeutic way, sort of tenderizing the body and opening up the pores to receive all of that lovely heat from the sauna.
They soak the oak branches in hot water, and then they rhythmically beat you with them. And I usually don't have to pay for that kind of thing. But It's supposed to be very aromatic, though, and good for circulation. And the bundles have all these anti-inflammatory properties and exfoliating properties. And I sort of felt like I was lost in the woods and I was trying to, like, find my way back to my campsite through the brambles.
You know, you kind of look like that, too.
And that's to say, I really enjoyed it. And I'm not going to brag, but I think he did, too.
I guarantee you he did. There was just like leaves strewn about the sauna. There was like leaves in your hair.
You got one too. Oh no, you got me to give you a sort of unprofessional.
I did. I chickened out. He was too intimidating. I couldn't I couldn't handle it. I'm like I said, and I'm figuring out it's because I'm quite sensitive to the heat. I think the deal breaker was when he was smacking the backs of your knees and the bottoms of your feet. Like, I don't know if I can handle that. I might fall over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, had we known what we know now, mm-hmm. It makes so much sense, right? Why you didn't feel comfortable with that.
It does, for sure. Like I said before, just like the understanding, has opened my eyes to a lot of things. I would definitely approach the Banya in a little bit of a different way. And I have, because I've been back since our time.
How did you feel when you went back?
Just a little bit more open-minded and a little bit, I guess, kinder to myself. I'm just like, now I have an entirely different perspective on going into these hydrotherapy places. I found like pushing past my comfort level has had a huge payoff, because like when I can talk to myself as to why that makes me uncomfortable, sometimes you can break through it. I'm not saying that other folks with sensory issues should go and plunge in a cold lake or something if they're not comfortable. I'm just saying that's kind of what's working for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of challenging myself in a safe environment.
For sure, absolutely. So after he gave us the Vanik massage, he actually got into, so there's this very small, like, barrel, I would call it. Would you call it a barrel, Max?
It kind of reminded me of like a well.
Okay, it's like a, sort of like a well, sort of looks like a barrel or a well or...
Yeah.
And so he did the whole route with us, our Vanik, and our guide, and he gave me the Vanik massage. Again, I'm terribly sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. And then he instructed me very assertively, get in the barrel. So then you get out of the sauna, you get into the barrel of freezing cold water, and he got in with me, which I'm glad he was a gentleman. And then
I was not expecting that. I was dying laughing.
Me. I really enjoyed it though. And then he very forcibly tells you, put your head under the water. And he kind of yells at you, which that kind of therapy doesn't work for everyone, but it's quite effective for me. And then you feel so, I can only describe all the cold therapy experiences that I've had as you feel like a lightning bolt when you're done.
Absolutely, you do.
You did the barrel. So there's also this little barrel that you stand under.
And it has like this chain hanging off of it. And you basically live your, like, what is that, flash dance? That's definitely what I was picturing while I was pulling on that chain and water came plunging down.
Yeah, very refreshing.
It was.
What's the purpose of that one? I actually don't know.
I don't actually know either. I guess if you're too chicken to jump in or if you're trying to acclimatize, I'm not really sure. I have been in both and I've visited other hydrotherapy places and I find their cold plunge to be not as intense as other places I've been for.
I agree. They don't actually put like ice cubes in there.
Yeah, it's just cold water, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, me too. So then once you get bored of doing that for a while, you can go into the dining area, which is so charming. Again, sort of looks like, you know, an old Eastern European man's basement.
Agreed.
And
lots of old Russian posters on the wall and leather seats and exposed brick, like that kind of vibe.
And what are they called? Medallions?
Yeah. Lots of, I had like all those, what do you call them? Steins, like beer steins on the wall.
All the steins on the wall.
Yeah.
So if your peepers are trash, you're going to want to bring spectacles because all the menus are up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's kind of, it's so sweet. Everyone's sitting around in robes, eating this really tasty Eastern European cuisine. And some of them are getting a bit drunk, if I might say.
And especially because we were there on a weekend, people were getting kind of lit for sure.
It feels very, this place feels very masculine to me.
It can, for sure. That's why it was a totally different vibe when I went there on the no men allowed night. It was so peaceful. Everyone was whispering. It was like there was no loud, boisterous voices. I'm pretty sure this lady was like taking a nap completely naked on the couch. It was.
That's lovely.
It's wonderful.
That's so wonderful. Well, you know what? I feel like it was actually very quiet when we went on the co-ed date. I think the only person who was really loud was my friend Jonas, who we bumped into my friend that I hadn't seen in like 5 years. He's this like 6'4" Viking Scottish man, like with the broadest shoulders I've ever seen. Just for context, I used to go to these house parties. He'd throw at his house and he would literally, out of nowhere, he'd pick me up, he'd throw me over his shoulder, and then he'd start running full speed up and down his stairs.
I can picture it.
He's so funny.
And he has something to celebrate as well. I think it was his citizenship.
His citizenship. Yeah, he's a funny guy, that guy.
The magic of the Banya brought you together.
The magic of the Banya. So they do this amazing homebrewed kombucha there, which was really tasty. For the vegans, there's not so much. But there was the one vegan option that we got, which was
sweet pickle plate. It was so good.
The redemption of a sweet pickle plate and pierogies, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, if you don't have the sour cream, you're allowed to eat that.
I just need the salt, baby.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, they were pickling vegetables. I didn't even know you could pickle on that plate. It was amazing.
They were. It was a bit of like a magical mystery tour in terms of figuring out what we're eating, but it was also delicious.
It was.
And very cost effective too, I might add.
I agree. Yes, that was very, obviously this isn't included in the $60 fee that we paid, but it wasn't very much extra. I could see it getting expensive if you were consuming alcohol, but
yeah.
But I'm trying not to do that. So actually cold therapy and hot therapy has actually been helping me kind of on my sobriety journey quite a lot. So
cold therapy in specific, like in what way?
That's like hot and cold therapies. It's just kind of a way to get sort of increased alertness, sort of that natural high feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's just kind of another way to get your kicks without being harmful to yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like replacement therapy. Yeah.
Replacement therapy.
I think I made that up, but I mean, it sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds, I'm going to go with it. I like it. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Would you ever do like a plunge in Lake Ontario in the winter?
I would try for sure. I've always wanted to try the polar bear run on January 1st. I'm supposed to do it with my sister eventually, but she keeps having kids, so we'll get to it when they're a little older.
yeah.
Maybe they'll want to join in, who knows.
Oh, that'd be lovely. All of you guys together, yeah. That would be so nice. I think the Banya is a really great sort of bridge spa, like an entry-level spa for people who are a little grumpy about spa life. Mm-hmm. And the wellness scene. Like, people are going to put cucumbers on my eyes and, you know, mm-hmm. like everybody looks like a supermodel or whatever your misconceptions are of what you have to do to participate in wellness. But
it's kind of like punk rock in its own way.
I think it is. And I think this is where you take your kind of reluctant partner who thinks spa life is going to be too swishy, or, you know, your bros who think of themselves as, you know, we're too tough for that femme wellness stuff, or your angry daddies who get pissed off when you tell them that you just had like a great vegan meal or something. You know, I mean, the taxidermy will offset all of that.
Yeah, they'll be right at home.
I had the most amazing experience with you at Banya. I also liked the little sitting area where you can go and kind of sit and sip your tea.
And watch Russian nature documentaries on.
And watch Russian. They were a bit violent, actually. They're a bit violent for me. I don't do so well with the taxidermy.
Fair.
you know, I accept that it's there, but I feel a little, you know, I don't want to say pissed off, but I don't get it. I don't get why people...
There's a lot of eyes staring at you.
There's a lot of eyes to just be, you know, lying spread eagle, nude on a couch the way I would had there not been any taxidermy present. Well, Maxie, this has been enlightening. Thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm just wondering if you have any last words.
I guess just don't be afraid to take a plunge, so to say, and you never know what you're going to learn about yourself, right?
Ah, beautiful. And I'd like to say to everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. And before you judge me on the shoddy production value of this podcast, just remember, perfectionism is a tool of the oppressor. Have a nice day, everybody. Thank you so much, Max.
Thank you for having me.